right, welcome back, everyone. My name is Haggai Davis III, and I am co-hosting Tech Gumbo along with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is a conversational show about the past, present, and future of all things technology. We try to keep it topical, interesting, and digestible. Our show is brought to you by HomeBank. Although HomeBank just celebrated its 112th anniversary, it is anything but old-fashioned. They offer the tech you expect and the service that you deserve. Through two world wars, the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and now the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, HomeBank has not only remained a strong and stable institution, but it has helped countless families and businesses to plan, manage, and grow their finances. When it comes to service and giving, that's what makes HomeBank a true community bank. They are locals who love their hometowns and their neighborhoods, so they take pride in seeing them grow and thrive. They want the best for their communities just like you do, so that their kids and yours will have bright futures here at home. HomeBank is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. You can visit them online at home24bank.com. So, we haven't had a chance yet to dive into this topic since we've been on Christmas break, but the SolarWinds hack that happened in that was announced in December continues to be a large and evolving topic, and we thought it was time that we sat down and covered it.
And so, where this all starts, the Russians, this group calling themselves, or they're believed to be called Cozy Bear, they hacked into a company called SolarWinds. Now, SolarWinds is an IT management software company, a company like an EMCO. At EMCO, we do not use SolarWinds. We have other companies that we use their software to monitor computers and servers across a business network. And that's what SolarWinds do. They do computer network management, systems management. They do IT security, database management. They do a whole lots of different things in the IT space. And apparently, they got themselves hacked.
Yeah. So because SolarWinds was used by a cybersecurity company, FireEye, the hack made its way from SolarWinds into FireEye. And FireEye was the first company. FireEye is one of the premier cyber defense companies in the world. And something started happening on their network and they're like, hold up, this isn't supposed to be doing this thing. And they started throwing up all kinds of red flags and doing all kinds of digging. And what they found is truly terrifying.
The best way to kind of give you an analogy as to what's going on, if you are a fan of the Tom Clancy novels, this is a 900-page Tom Clancy novel that just goes into so many facets, and the details are so intricate, and the players are nation states on different continents, and then you've got a company like SolarWinds, which is used around the world. There's almost 400 out of the 500 top Fortune 500 companies, the top 10 U.S. telecom companies, most of the U.S. government all use, and a whole bunch of universities all use SolarWinds because it's a good product.
Yeah, it's an incredibly large, it is omnipresent, and it was believed to be a very good piece of software. And that's what made it such a prime target, is that it touched so many different computers in so many different important places across different levels of our society. And so
what Cozy Bear did is they found a way into the SolarWinds Orion software. And inside this Orion software, they went through the millions and millions of lines of code, and they found how they could mask their selves, because they didn't try and do big, huge payloads to destroy computer networks. All they wanted to do was get information. This is a true espionage play, not a cyber warfare to go take somebody down kind of thing. Yeah. And with this software going line by line of code, they could mask what they were doing because it made it look like it was just a part of the every routine day-to-day things that SolarWinds does.
Yeah, they sat there and they knew the entire Orion package front and back. They knew what all the different pieces and segments of code did. And so they were able to sneak in their little code into a normal piece of code, and they named it something that looked totally like other names because they knew what the naming structure was. And so now they're inside of this, you know, it's called a directly linked library that was a validated piece of code. You know, Orion was saying, hey, here is our business layer. This is something that we trust, that we believe in. You know, here it is. Go put it into your computer. And so because it got in there, it was trusted, and everywhere that it went was also trusted. And so because they were able to get in so like deeply into this process, they went through all types of detections.
One of the things that was very, very clever on the Russian hackers was they didn't just have the information that they were gathering. They didn't send it straight back to Russia. The information didn't even leave the continent or the country. It went to a server. If you were in the United States, that information was being sent to another server in the U.S. So it didn't look like it was going overseas to a hacker group. It looked like it was just going back to SolarWinds. And so it made it, well, it's going to where it's supposed to be. Okay, fine. And, you know, so there was another company back in 2017 called Kaspersky Labs. We talked about that on here on Tech Gumbo back when, that, because everyone found out that they were actually owned by Russians who were controlled by the Russian government. And Kaspersky did a lot of the same thing that SolarWinds does. Everybody went, No, we got to stop this. And the federal government said, nobody can use Kaspersky on our networks. If you do business with us, you can't use Kaspersky. And so Kaspersky is pretty much gone away. They're still floating out there, but almost to the point of non-existence. But these guys were smart. They weren't stupid the way Kaspersky was. They are so subtle in the way that they got into the system, and they had to have broken this thing down line by line, and they probably set up a dummy company as a customer so they were always getting the updates. It just is amazing the level of intricacy.
Because that's another thing, is that they were very, very intelligent at what they did. They were very, very patient. They were organized. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. They knew exactly how whenever the good guys would come looking, what the good guys would do. And they knew how to circumvent those steps. They said, okay, whenever the FireEyes are going to come try and find us, you know, what are their traditional tactics? How can we, you know, do more to just, you know, blend into the background? How can we name things in a certain way? How can we, you know, we'll take an extra month, we'll take an extra 6 months to set this up just so that we're even harder to find, even harder to track. And it is incredible the organization and the rigor that they used. It would have been so easy to just cut some shortcuts here and there, but they were dedicated, and it really is terrifying how good they were at this.
And to the point where when the first known detection of this was a March release of a SolarWinds update, That's the first, that's as far back as they can find any evidence. But when it would launch, when the SolarWinds update came out, let's say hypothetically it came out March 1st, this software had a 14-day timer on it to where it would not launch the code in for 2 full weeks, which makes it really, really hard for a network to go, oh, look, that there's something happening now. And so the logs of all the activity don't trace immediately back to the SolarWinds hack. And it just really shows the level of sophistication. This is not, you know, a bunch of Cub Scouts with some old computers trying to learn. This is true nation state level system design that really is amazing.
Because they were able to get into the secure portion of the business layer file from SolarWinds, that meant that they could then start looking and saying, okay, let me get to other secure things. They could get to trusted credentials, which meant that they were able to log into other portions of the network and say, oh, look, you know, here, I have a valid username, a valid password, you know, nothing strange happening here. And so they were able to very patiently and under the radar just start hopping across different places they had hacked. And because, as we've mentioned, SolarWinds is such a prominent company, they were able to just sit there and just, you know, place a little droplet here, place a little thing there. And any, like, they were able to scan all these companies. And if they said, oh, this company has really good defense software in it, don't do anything. We don't need to go after everybody. We're only going to go after the easy targets, the vulnerable targets, the ones that can't detect us. The level of planning here, you know, as you mentioned, the first known execution of this was early March, but this had to have been in the works for months or years at just how well they knew everything, how well they set everything up. These are people who were incredibly well funded, and it is, their capabilities should be feared.
One of the things that FireEye has said is that the stuff is so really, really good. It's they don't use like a lot of the hacks, and they use VPN connections and everything. This company doesn't do that, because when you're leaving, you know, when you're trying to use VPNs to get your information around, it's you've got to have a much bigger package, a much bigger payload. By keeping this thing as small as it was very, very, very easy to trace it back to the Russians. And that's how they know comfortably that the Russian government is behind, or at least a known entity inside of Russia is who created all of this.
Right. The all of the different tools that we are talking about, and there was more that was just more technical, and there's just so many different things. As you mentioned, this is not something that even, you know, a bunch of sophisticated loners could have pulled off. This is not five guys in their basement. This is, you know, tens, maybe hundreds of people working for a long, sustained, directed, organized period of time. That's why there's that alone limits the number of countries that it could have pulled this off. And as you mentioned, just the different ways that they were saying, okay, someone could track us if we did this. Someone would throw up a red flag if we did that. Let's, you know, pull all these little levers. Let's work a little bit harder. Let's, you know, try a little bit more so that it just flies under the radar and makes it that much more difficult for normal people to find.
And when we bury ourselves inside the code of a company like a SolarWinds that, oh, by the way, does database management. So now we have access to get into databases of, oh, the Pentagon and, you know, the Treasury Department and, you know, not, you know, just kind of important places. And they're, again, just looking for information. So if it's just, you know, a group of hackers who have been putting out the ransomware, those are the folks who are looking for money. These people aren't after money. So if they're not after money, who's funding them?
Right.
Governments. And yeah. So it's pretty
so easy. We also can see that they also weren't trying to disrupt anything. They weren't trying to set off landmines. They weren't trying to take anything down. Their whole goal was to be as sneaky as possible. And the only reason that, you know, anybody found this was that their software made its way into FireEye, you know, the premier cyber defense company. If they never went to FireEye, if they just were able to, you know, tell it, hey, don't go there, it could have been months, you know, another 9 months to a year before we found this. And they would have just been able to sit there and just very quietly, like a submarine on the bottom of the ocean that just sits there and sends out the radar and does nothing but listen. That's what this is. They weren't trying to do a whole lot. They just wanted to have their ear to the ground and just know a little bit more, or a lot of it more, about what the workings of the U.S. government was doing.
To the level that this code, if it detected FireEye on a network, it said, okay, stop. Don't do anything because FireEye is here. If they knew FireEye was on that network, that software was good enough to know if there was FireEye anywhere floating around looking, it shut itself down. And so when we've talked about, you know, east-west traffic on a network, and that's when one computer is trying to get to another computer or to another, into a bunch of different computers on a single network, that's ultimately what tripped this up. FireEye saw this software trying to go east-west, because north-south is just your computer trying to go out to the internet and coming back. This traffic trying to go across the network, this lateral movement, that's what tripped it off. And finally, the red flags went up, and everybody just is in a panic right now, because it's going to be quite some time before we know really how deep this has gotten, how long it's going to take to get this completely out.
Yeah, because one of the reasons why it wasn't the north-south traffic was that they were able to set up a structure so that whenever FireEye would try and send the data out, or not FireEye, whenever this software would try and send the data out, it wouldn't just send it to some generic name. It was able to rename its own pieces to look more like the company that it hacked. So if it hacked Microsoft, it wasn't just sending it out to, you know, datadump.com. It was sending it out to microsoftdatadump.com. And just each individual detail like that shows like that their level of planning and precision, that it's going to make this so difficult to continue to dive through, that, you know, FireEye has already come out and said, look, go through, please start changing all your passwords. If anything is connected to SolarWinds, if anything is using Orion, you know, start locking it down, because we're going to be digging through this for months and we have no idea how deep it goes.
Nor do we know how many back doors this has created. So even if you were using SolarWinds and you uninstalled SolarWinds and you took the SolarWinds servers out and you shut all that down, you don't know how many different little access points were created to allow people to get back into your network. And again, not to do damage, but to find out information about you.
And that's another one of the incredible things that they were able to do, is they were able to look across your network, see the standard list of tasks that it was doing, and then just very quickly add in one more task that was, you know, run hour stuff, and then pull it out. And so that way, it runs on time, and then if someone comes back and looks through it later, it still looks totally fine. So we are really going to be seeing how deep it went for over the next couple of months, and then seeing the impacts of this, you know, what the Russians learned, this I'm sure will rear its head over years to come.
And the more we learn, the more each day goes by, we find out just how much deeper and deeper. Like, no, we have no idea where the bottom of the well is right now. We've thrown that rock and we're just listening for the splash, and it's not coming back. We're not hearing the bottom.
Yeah. So if you have found our conversation today interesting and important, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you want to go back and listen to the whole show again, you can find it on the podcast section of talk1073.com and the Blogs and On Demand tab. You can also find older versions of our show in podcast platforms such as iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, Apple, Amazon Music, and many, many more.
And we do want to thank EMCO Technologies for sponsoring the show. EMCO for all your business computer network needs. Whether it's Office 365, cybersecurity concerns, or moving to the cloud, managing your business network is what we do. So give us a call, 225-925-8900, or find us on the web, emcotechnologies.com. And if you like our show, if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and on Facebook, at TechGumboShow. You can also text us at 225-255-0431. You're listening to Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Baton Rouge's new flavor of talk.